Publishers. It's Corinne Zupko here, and today I am with Dr. Bob Rosenthal, who is the author of the book From Plagues to Miracles. He is a psychiatrist in private practice in Princeton, New Jersey, and he's also on the board for the Foundation for Inner Peace. He's been a longtime member of the board and will actually be taking much more of a leadership role coming up soon. And he was also a dear friend of Bill Thetford's as well, and knew Helen Schuckman. He was one of the quote-unquote original course students, as we might think of it. So welcome, Bob. I'm really happy you're here today.
Thank you, Corinne. I'm delighted to be here, and I think the idea for this conference is just wonderful, and I'm so happy to participate.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to. So I want to just begin by mentioning that the topic that you picked for today's talk is about vision. And I'm wondering if you could just say a few things as to how that topic came up for you when we were sort of, you know, brainstorming as to how our interview might go today.
Well, as someone who's studied and attempted to practice A Course in Miracles for decades on decades, I was introduced to it by then Judy Scutch over Christmas 1975. You start to notice that there's some places that we overfocus on. Not that that's bad necessarily, but there are other areas that just don't seem to get quite the attention that they deserve. You know, just earlier today, I looked up vision in the concordance. There are 313 mentions of vision, and I didn't even bother to look up Christ's vision, which I'm sure gets umpteen references as well. But I like to think of the Course in Miracles. Let me give a little bit of an overview first. You know, the ego's thought system is so entrenched and locked in because we have believed in it for so long. And collectively, as an entity, we have, you know, given it such credence that A Course in Miracles offers us a number of different tools for beginning to unravel that thought system. Now, in the big picture, all of these tools are really the same because, as we know, it already has been unraveled. You know, God and the Son of God were really completely unchanged by the separation that we all fell into. Nonetheless, from our ego perspective, sitting here in physical bodies and, you know, using technology like this, the course offers a number of different approaches. So the most obvious for people is forgiveness. And many people have talked about forgiveness. I just gave a talk out at the Miracle Distribution Conference in Irvine that focused quite a bit on forgiveness. And I will be posting that to YouTube and linking it to my website, hopefully today. So there's forgiveness. There's miracles, obviously. It is a course in miracles. And miracles get a lot of attention in the opening pages and chapters, but they then kind of give way to forgiveness. And yet we're told forgiveness is the home of miracles. So clearly the two are linked. If you're practicing forgiveness, you get miracles. When you give and share miracles, you're much more likely to pop into forgiveness-mindedness. Then there is the holy instant, which is perhaps the most intellectual tool in one way and yet the most directly experiential in the other, in that the holy instant doesn't and can't exist within the world of perception, where miracles and forgiveness do exist. So the holy instant is kind of one of these peekaboo windows that opens up where you actually get to experience yourself and perhaps even your brothers as God knows you. And finally, there's vision. I say finally, not because vision is last or least, but because I think it is the most difficult to understand, and yet it is central. You know, the Course says salvation is the Holy Spirit's goal. The means is vision. So here, salvation, which is also forgiveness, is tied to vision. And vision and miracles are linked throughout. You know, Christ's vision is a miracle. So I wanted to talk about vision, mainly because I don't hear it talked about very much. I think it's key. And when you really begin to actualize the practice of the Course, vision really does begin to change. So I think if it's okay, where I prefer to start is by looking at what we think of as vision, that is the body's eyes and the body's sight, spend a few minutes looking at that and how that traps us, and then moving into A Course in Miracles' understanding of vision and how that's different. And if any of the listeners and viewers have seen my talks or listened to them before, they know I'm very, very fond of metaphor and parable. So what I'd like to do before we close is just offer kind of a metaphor that I think will help understand how vision operates, because, you know, metaphors go around our rational minds, and they just allow us to grasp things at a deeper level that we can then go out and practice. So if that feels like a plan, and I know we're not supposed to be making plans, but if that feels like received wisdom, shall we run with it?
That sounds perfect. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. Outstanding. So, you know, as a psychiatrist, I'm an MD. I went through medical school. I learned all about quote unquote vision. That is the body's eyes and the body's sight. And so, you know, we use our senses, not just vision, but all five senses, to construct this world that we believe is outside of us and that we believe is completely real. The Course says, no, projection makes perception. That is to say, it's what's in our minds that we project outward. But let me, you know, do a quick sidebar here. Even if you look at this from the place standpoint of physiology, there is no real world out there. I mean, it's all ultimately the translation of stimuli through retinal cells, through touch perceptors, through, you know, hairs on your cochlea and your inner ear that get translated into brainwave states that in turn we interpret as vision, hearing, perception. And then we weave all these together as if they were some kind of a seamless whole when they very definitely are not. As I was thinking of this earlier today, I was reminded of a little video that circulated on the internet many years ago and probably is still circulating knowing the internet, where you're asked to watch a group of people passing a ball around, I think it was a basketball, and to count how many times they pass the ball. And in the middle of this, a gorilla walks through the picture, but nobody sees the gorilla.
I didn't see the gorilla.
Yeah, I didn't see the gorilla either. I'm embarrassed to say. But it's a great demonstration of just how faulty perception is. We filter perception. There is absolutely no way that you can be aware of everything coming in, even through your body's channels at the same time. So even speaking from the medical and scientific standpoint, perception is an illusion. We put it together and we give it the spin that we want it to have. It's also obviously very rooted in the physical body, you know. Close your eyes, close your ears, and you don't hear and you don't see. So the Course, which so marvelously attempts to help us reverse all of the learning that we gave ourselves about who we are in the world, does the same thing with vision. Only because we've all been using vision, and indeed, the moment you wake up in the morning, your eyes pop open. And you're looking around and say, oh, here's the world of vision. Oh, yeah, the alarm clock says this. Oh, my gosh, I better get to the bathroom and brush my teeth. Oh, I look like a horror. You know, our vision, it's so much a default. It's so much part of the background that we do have a hard time challenging it. Now, as a very dedicated student of the Course, I always wondered why the workbook for students started right out going after vision. You know, nothing I see in this room means anything. I've given what I see all the meaning it has for me. I believe that there are probably more people who have been turned off by A Course in Miracles because of those opening pages, you know, wondering, what the heck is this? This makes no sense. And yet, I think it goes to just how fundamental this idea of vision is, that the Course is attempting. I mean, in the first 10 lessons, six of them address the body's sight, attempting to help us see that we don't see the present. We see only the past. We don't live in the present. And that's not a coincidence. The Course throughout is trying to help us understand that what we see with the body's eyes keeps us in an illusion, keeps us imprisoned, and therefore maintains a false sense of who the Son of God is. Does that make sense? I mean, let me, you know, because I've lived with these thoughts for years, so.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. And it just makes me think, too, how compelling the ego's witnesses improving itself are when you're using the body senses, when you're looking with your eyes at, the news. I mean,
Yes.
any of, anything on the news, pretty much. Just how compelling it is as a witness for itself from the ego standpoint. And so by only relying on those senses, that's what we're gonna get.
That's all we get. I mean, lesson 304 says perception is a mirror, not a fact. I love that. That's one of my favorite one-liners among many in the course. What it tells us is no, we're only seeing what we look out there to see. So, because we have limited time, and hopefully, if you're watching this and questions arise, you can ask questions in the follow-up. But because we have limited time, I'd like to kind of cut to the chase and say, all right, so if the body's eyes see only illusion and only kind of a projection of what's in us, kind of this reversal of the inner and the outer, then what is vision? How does vision work? Well, to quote Lesson 158, paragraph 7, and I hate to pull all these out, but this way you can go look it up for yourselves. Christ's vision has one law. It looks not on the body. Well, if you look around, how do you not look on the body? Here's the key. You're not looking with the eyes of your body. Spiritual vision, the course tells us, can't even see the body. It can only see the Son of God. So right here we get this distinction. You're not a body. You are the Son of God. In fact, you are the one Son of God, along with me and everybody else. So Christ's vision is that element of one of the toolkit of A Course in Miracles. It works within the world of perception. It's not the world of God. It's not reality. Where even when you're looking at somebody, you're seeing beyond the body. Now, as a psychiatrist, I work with egos and bodies. That's my job is to, I mean, I joke that I'm an editor or a rewrite expert. People come in with the narratives of their lives, and I'm supposed to, help them write a better story. And indeed, we can do that. But where that goes is ultimately limited. You can only get so far using the body's vision, I mean the ego's vision. So what else are we? And I just lost my train of thought here, which happens to me sometimes. So just, to come back to it, do you remember where I was?
Let's see. We were talking about, being. I was resonating with what you were saying as a psychiatrist, because as a therapist with egos and bodies coming in and helping people, sort of rewrite that narrative. But there's, I know
Okay.
for me, a next step,
I
at
think I
least.
know where I can jump back in.
Okay, good. At least for me internally, with using that vision. So please
Exactly.
continue.
So where I was going with that, and I apologize for the senior moment, or maybe it was a holy instant,
The
I don't
ego doesn't always want us to say these things,
know.
so.
For sure. But what I've noticed is you can't look at a body and not immediately make judgments. We look at people's faces and we think old, young, rich, poor, smart, dumb, pretty, ugly, skinny, fat. The judgments happen so automatically that we really don't even process them. And as I've begun to notice that, I mean, it's very awakening, enlightening, because you realize, oh my gosh, I'm judging all the time when I use that. So Christ's vision or vision goes in a different place, and it tells us that there is light within us, there is light within each of us, that instead of projecting out the world of the ego with all of its judgments and perceptions, we can instead look at what's really there, which is light. This is almost a reverse perception, and there is a place in the course where it talks about this. I think it's the lesson, miracles are seen in light. But it's saying, yes, you've taken what you perceive as sin and darkness and ugliness that's within, and you project it out into the world in order to get away from it. But of course, now you're completely trapped in it. Instead, we can reverse that, and instead of doing the projection, we can begin to see the light that is truly there. And we have a little Course in Miracles group in Princeton that meets every Sunday, and one of the members gave a wonderful example of this, very dedicated student, and he talked about being in his car and pulling over to talk to a guy who worked with him. He's a contractor, and looking through the frame of his car window and seeing this guy's face and having a moment where he just saw not the body and not the ego, who he actually wasn't terribly fond of, but just this, the Son of God, a neutral vision. Notice, that's the same thing as forgiveness. We could also call that something of a holy instant. Again, the Course is very holographic. It pulls all of these together in the same way. But that vision is one of light, one of oneness. So as personally speaking, as I've worked the Course at deeper and deeper levels, vision really does start to happen. We're told that vision begins in just little glimpses, such as my friend in our Course group had. But those glimpses, it's kind of like we're trying to tear our way out of a black paper bag, and we get out in one place and a little light comes through, and now we see a little better and we can, open it up in other places. So those glimpses become more and more consistent, and it's very unsettling for the ego. The ego, if you do this too soon before you really have a foundation in the love of Holy Spirit and in the way miracles really can make your life work in ways that you didn't know, if you don't have that foundation, you can think you're going crazy. So the ego rebels against this really powerfully. It pushes back. It refocuses on sight. But the world around you literally begins to look different. And instead of seeing faces and bodies and tall, short, fat, thin, old, young, it's kind of like you really are overlooking those. You're looking past those. And what you are seeing is only love that is sparkling through this particular form of illusion that we've locked it into temporarily. And that's Christ vision. That is very freeing. That opens the door to forgiveness. You cannot see ego if you're using vision. Just as when you really get to forgiveness, there are so many lessons where we focus on one brother and really try to apply forgiveness to that brother. Although we are told in, I think, the last one of those that comes up, "Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God," in lesson 161, that one brother is all brothers. The state of the mind is perfect abstraction. But if you've worked that and gotten to that place of forgiveness, you notice that you're not looking at that brother's face. You're not imagining his appearance in your mind. You're going to a oneness that transcends all of that, that's behind all of that. So since I'm not keeping track of time, how are we doing? And because I do want to share that one metaphor and don't want to run out of time.
We have about 12 minutes left, so we're good.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we're good.
Perfect. So let me just toss this back to you then, Corinne, because we are also told that the temple of the Holy Spirit is a relationship, not a body, and vision exists in this. So we're here, transacting a relationship for teaching, learning purposes. Do you have any thoughts or anything that's come to you?
Yeah, it's interesting hearing the story that you shared about the person in your Course in Miracles group and that experience that they had. What came to mind for me was an experience that I had, and also, so I feel like, choose love has been sort of a popular catchphrase lately that is used, rather widely. And what does that mean? I had this experience where I was on a long walk at a reservoir near my house, and there's about a 5-mile trail going around this body of water. And I decided that I was going to choose love, and I was going to, see love in everybody as I was walking. Long story short, by the end of the walk, I was exhausted because I was making that choice from Corinne, from my ego. I was using my own eyes, my own, senses, my own choice to choose love. And as it was interesting, because the next time I went for a walk, I became simply willing to choose love, willing to have that experience of vision come through me. And, I don't know how much time passed between those two walks, but I, as always, was, working A Course in Miracles and giving my willingness to the Holy Spirit. And that second time that I went for a walk, where rather than making that choice for myself, I had that tiny bit of willingness, like the course says that's all that we need. And it was through that willingness that I then felt love in every person that passed me. It was something that came through me rather than of me. And so I hope that makes sense.
Oh, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it takes us right to the introduction to the course, which I had intended to reference earlier. So you've done, you know, this is great. Where, you know, this is not a course in doing. Doing, you know, doing is action. Action requires a body. Bodies are symbols of egos. Egos are symbols of the separation. So there really is nothing to do. It's a course in undoing, unblocking our awareness of love's presence, which is our natural inheritance. So what you just described is perfect. And I do believe this is where a lot of people, you know, sort of get a little lost. Okay, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to love them, that SOB. I can't believe what you did to me, but I'm going to love them despite it. You know, this is forgiveness to destroy. I'm going to love them even though, you know, look at that face. You know, I hate that face. I want to punch that face. I mean, I've had people say this in my office. But no, you don't have to do that. You just have to be willing to ask yourself, would you be willing to see this differently?
Right.
You know, it's important to remember that A Course in Miracles, the entire thing came in response to Bill Thetford saying to Helen Schuckman, there has to be another way, and Helen saying, I will help you find it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there were lifetimes and lifetimes, you know, leading up to that, but that question had to be asked. In the book of Exodus, which I treat in you know, my book, From Plagues to Miracles, nothing happens to free the Hebrew people from slavery, bondage, and I see that as a metaphor for the ego keeping us enslaved to the world of perception. Nothing happens until the Hebrew people cry out to God. They have to say, help, we don't know how to do this, can you help us, before something, another force comes in. And once you've done that, there's no going back. So it is about unblocking. And the Course tells us that vision, for example, that there's nothing that vision can't address, just as there's nothing that forgiveness can't address, and there's nothing that can't be cured, healed, atoned for, corrected through a miracle. They all operate, you know, our egos need to keep busy, and if we just looked at that one introduction to the Course with the three lines, you know, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists, herein lies the peace of God, we go, oh, that's kind of neat, I don't really understand it, but, and we go on, and we do something else. But in the remaining, you know, 1,249 or whatever it is pages, it keeps our egos distracted, and it gives us all these different ways of looking at it. Mm-hmm. But as I said earlier, vision really does change. And I think it's one of the last things to change because it is so locked in. But that doesn't mean that we can't work on it in the same way that we work on forgiveness and the holy instant and our holy relationship. So let me just offer this somewhat extended metaphor. When we go into a movie theater, there is a projection happening. You know, someone has acted out a script that actually happened a long time ago in front of cameras that we are now viewing on a blank screen. And because it's a blank screen, we can become completely absorbed in it. Those actors and that drama, the deaths, the love, the sexiness, the achievements, they all happened ages ago in the shooting of it. And in fact, in reality, they never happened at all. It's a movie, guys. But in that theater with that blank screen, we sit transfixed and we become absorbed, and it feels as if it's a good film, it feels as real to us as anything. So this is what we do in our lives. We are projecting and seeing what is there, and we're not looking beyond it because we just simply haven't been trained to do that. So let me ask you to do this little thought experiment. Imagine now that instead of in the movie theater, you were to get up and leave the movie theater and that movie is still playing. Only now there's not a blank screen. You're actually seeing what's behind it. You know, the actors are talking and they're doing their thing, but it's on walls. You're seeing it flash over cars. There are places where it gets pretty thin because there isn't something to project on it. It looks very distorted in places. How much can you still believe that movie? You just don't get absorbed in it the same way, even though the drama is still there. You know, the love interest could get killed. But you're seeing reality behind the movie. You can't get lost in it in the same way. It can still distract you. You know, maybe for a while it really does project on a blank wall again, and you stare off and go, oh my gosh, what's happening in the movie? Look at that news from Gaza. Look at that news from you know, whatever the latest impossible hotspot on the planet is. Look at the horrors that are being done. And within the realm of the movie, they are horrible, but you can't change them at the level of the movie. And if you look beyond it to reality, then you won't make the mistake of stumbling around watching a movie that isn't there. You can see where you're going. You can actually see real people rather than actors who are locked into roles that, you know, that offer no choice. You know, you can't change that movie or the script that was in it once it's been shot and projected. But you can change what's happening in your life. So vision is akin to that. Clearly, the metaphor isn't perfect, as no metaphor is, because physical reality is in itself an illusion. But when you look past the illusion of physical reality, it also doesn't have the same compelling quality. Vision allows you to overlook it and begin to see what's beyond it, which is reality, the real world, as the course would call it. And in the real world, the Son of God is one. Everyone, no matter what their body happens to look like, has the exact same light, and I do mean the exact same, within them. And that light is there for you to see. And as you see it in them, you will also necessarily begin to experience it in yourself. Mm-hmm. I am the light of the world. And as you are the light of the world, you will bring miracles. And you know, quick little segue about miracles. You know, we think of miracles as being performed consciously. No, your very presence in any situation, and even in situations that you're not aware that you're in, opens a door for miracles to come through if you are in that place of forgiveness, if you are using Christ's vision instead of your own. Christ's vision meaning not the vision of Jesus Christ who lived 2,000 years ago, but the vision of the Christ, the one Son of God, of whom Jesus and all of us are indeed the same thing. We're not pieces of this. The illusion of pieces is only because of the nature of the separation. We are all the oneness. I mean, again, that's hard to understand, but if you know what a hologram is, you know, you can take a hologram is a picture generated by a laser. You can take it and break it into different pieces, and each piece still contains the entire picture. So we're just pieces of a hologram, but those aren't real pieces. The oneness, the wholeness exists within us, and that is what vision looks upon. Again, Christ's vision looks not upon a body. It looks upon the light. It looks upon the oneness. It does not look upon a body and mistake it for the Son of God whom God created. It beholds a light beyond the body. So with that, even though we are seemingly restricted to vision here in this virtual conference, technology is not a limit. You know, you're watching me, you're watching Corinne, you're going to walk out of this conference and interact with your family, your friends, your coworkers. When you get triggered by body perceptions, you don't have to get mad at yourself. You don't have to be, you know, feel like you're full of sin. You don't have to see it in others. It's just feedback. It's just a wake-up call that says, oh, there really is another way. There's a better way. And that better way is vision. That better way is forgiveness. That better way is miracles, which save us infinite time. And that better way is ultimately the embracing of the Holy Spirit, which plays out in this world through vision, miracles, and forgiveness. So again, it all hangs together. You know, how lovely.
That was beautiful, Bob. I have such powerful conversations about A Course in Miracles. And again, I'm just so glad we got this all on tape because that was really very, very powerful. And I just wanted to add one thing that came up for me.
Please,
listening to you, and I don't have the whole quote or the reference at the moment, But there's a line in the course that says, and it's a prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So when you were, you know, giving the examples of like, you know, going out into our lives and interacting with people who trigger you, that prayer has been so helpful for me because, again, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. So it's that willingness again that we have to have the Holy Spirit's judgment come in, which is only going to see the love in any situation. And it helps us unhook from, you know, from the ego's sight.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the whole, I mean, when we step out of the way, and that is all we need to do, the little willingness, we need do nothing. When we step out of the way and allow Holy Spirit to see it for us, and thank you, that I mean, that's another one-liner that tells you how to do it all in a nutshell. You practice that, you're there, then you will be seeing vision, you'll be forgiving. But it's not, the way is not of us because we identify with our egos and our bodies. But again, at a certain point, that starts getting very thin and you go through life. My wife and I have a wonderful favorite metaphor that we're just the pieces on the Monopoly board, and she's the hat and I'm the car, and you know, and it's a game, but if you play it over and over, it starts getting really wearisome and boring, and the reward of money doesn't work. You know, you're not that piece, you're not that body, so you can walk away from it and see the light and let the Holy Spirit take us there. Thanks, Corinne.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bob. That was so powerful and so helpful. I'm really looking forward to all the questions we're going to have
on the
call. So just a few closing remarks. I just want to toss it back over to you. How can people get in touch with you? Where can they find you?
Oh, yeah, thank you. You know, my marketing prowess always shows through in this regard. right now, I have all of my information about my book, archived talks, future speaking engagements on my book's website, which is www.fromplaguestomiracles.com. And that has a lot of different tabs, but there's a tab for media that has archive talks, and there's one for events and news. I also have a Facebook page, Robert Rosenthal-author. I have yet to reject anyone. Of course, you could be the first, but feel free to friend me. And my book has a fan page, From Plagues to Miracles. If you're so moved, go ahead and like it. So all of those, I try to post whatever's upcoming. I also send out email blasts, but I'm not real good at that because it takes time to compose them. Mm-hmm. But you can join my my email list through the website. So those are all, you know, good ways to reach me. And Thanks for asking that.
Yeah, of course. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And so we'll see everybody on the call.